appreciate Jim offering me the opportunity to speak with you all this morning. Most of you that know me know that I'm not a public speaker. I've taken one public speaking course in my life, did miserably on it. But I do know that one of the things that course taught me was, if you're going to talk to somebody, talk about something you know. Don't try to talk about something you don't know anything about. So I'm going to, instead of trying to amaze you with being a Bible scholar here this morning, which I'm not, I'm going to talk to you about something which I hope I understand, and I hope we all can understand better in this life, and that's love. You know, in the King James Version of the Bible, the original King James Version, the word charity is used quite often interchangeably with the word love. Then we get to the new King James Version of the Bible, and then we start using the word love. Somewhere between those, when I think of the word love, I think of love like a man has for his wife. So somewhere between charity and love is the love that we need to have as church members for each other and also for the rest of the world. You know, God said that there was only two things that was important: love of God and love of your fellow man. He said that, you know, all the commandments that were passed down meant nothing, that the only things that meant anything was love. So this morning I'm going to leap through a lot of different places in the Bible. Don't bother to try to keep up with me. It's, you know, there's no need for you to try to rustle through to everywhere that I'm going to be in the Bible. So I'd rather that you didn't do that. Now Stan has me wired up here. I think he has something going on with Jim. Because any of y'all that have been in any Sunday school classes that I've taught, you know that I kind of wander off the subject once in a while. Stan said I was wired up, and he has the ability to get me back on the straight and narrow. So I think him and Jim have been kind of working together a little bit here. But I'll try to stay on somewhere near the straight and narrow here this morning, which for me is kind of hard, you know. When I went to school, there was no such thing as ADD, or I would have had that too. But they didn't know about it then. I'm one of those guys that when I'm reading something, the words I'm reading have nothing to do with what's going on up here, because I don't even pay attention to what I myself am reading, let alone what anybody else is reading to me. And that can be a problem in life, I've found, but that's the way I am, and that's the way I will be with you here this morning. I'm going to start with Corinthians 1:8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edify. And if man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. What we're saying here is just simply that, you know, knowledge is wonderful, but it's not what we think it is. If you don't have love for God and love for your fellow man, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. I go by sometimes churches, and I'll see out on the marquee, not pastor or preacher or brother, but I see doctor out there. And I know a man that has gone to college and got his doctorate has something to be proud of. But to me, it my heart rings truer if I see brother or preacher or a man of God out there, rather than seeing the marquee saying that this man is a doctor. Because as God says, knowledge is nothing. It's love that's important. When we speak of charity, we're speaking of love. There is nothing short of love of God more important than the love for our fellow man. If we are to have that love, it has to start right here in our church membership. Although I disagree with people in this church on lots of issues, in the deacons' meetings, quite often I'm the only one marching to the different drummer. And I realize that my ideas may or may not be the proper ideas for this church. And your idea may or may not be the proper idea for this church. But if you can listen to other people's ideas and still have love in your heart for them, that's what it's about. It's not about whether we're right or wrong. You know, I see our meetings. Sometimes we have quarterly business meetings. I see people march out of these meetings just so upset with other people. But, you know, if you're doing God's work and you're doing it in the way God would have you do it, it doesn't matter. I don't have to agree with you. Yeah, there's probably even Democrats in this church right now, and I know I wouldn't agree with you. But I don't have to agree with you to love you. Yeah? To love a person, you just have to get to know them. You know, we have functions in the church. And we have different groups in our church. Of course, every church does. And we'll have a function, and people will tend to head off to their, what I call their safety zone. It's among their friends, their relations quite often. And there's no better friends in this world than you can have than your relations. You know, because they're the easiest people to make friends with. And they're the good place to start. But don't let friends, your relatives that are your friends, get in the way of having other friends. Your heart has room for every person that you ever meet to be your friend. You don't have to have a certain little safety zone, but I see us doing that, and when I see us heading for that safety zone, I have to think of two people in this church that are gone now, that Miss Margaret and Miss Joyce. You never saw them walk into this church and go sit in their safety zone. You always saw them walk into this church and they went around and they visited with everybody. And that's what we all need to do. We need to learn not to go to our safety zone, but to actually go around and visit with people, because you can't make friends sitting in your safety zone. And the one thing that you can have in this world that you can carry with you, even though we say that there's nothing you can attain in this world you can carry to heaven with you, as usual, I'm going to argue with that point. And my point is that you can take all your friends. You know, I've never seen a funeral procession with a couple of Wells Fargo trucks behind it. But I've seen plenty of funeral processions that were so long that you had to sit alongside the road for a long time for them to go by. That was friends. Those people didn't gain those friends by sitting in their safety zone. I'm going to now read a little more from the Bible. I'm going to go to Corinthians 1:13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all the faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now this is from the Old King James. Charity here is actually love. But as I look at it, somewhere between the old King James and the new King James Version is what love is, which is a friendship. It's a deep friendship. It's not the love like we think of for our wife, but it's a deep friendship for those around us. And there's nobody, there's absolutely nobody in this world that is not of value as a friend. No matter who you make friends with, you'll find, and actually you'll quite often be amazed, because you'll see people that you feel like in your judging heart that these people really are not of value to be your friend. We all do that. And we kind of shy away from people. We say, well, you know, they have their ways are different from mine. They feel differently about subjects that I feel are important. But even these people, if you'll take the time, you'll be amazed at the things you can learn from these people. And if you want your opinion to be passed on to these people, trust me, as long as you're not their friend, they don't care about your opinion. You have to get their friendship first, and then you can try to get your opinion to them. If you don't get their friendship, you can forget them accepting your opinions. But as friends, quite often, they accept opinions, even the weird opinions that I come up with sometimes. I find that my friends can accept them. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to the burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not besave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. You know, sometimes we get into discussions with other people that are even our friends, and they can say the least little thing and it'll provoke us. We're so easily provoked in this world. It's like we're looking for a reason to be provoked sometimes. But sometimes you just have to realize that people say things that they don't mean. And so people, you know, as we get older, myself for instance, I say things that I absolutely don't mean. In fact, what happens quite often is my tongue gets way out ahead of my brain. And I'll say words that come out a little bit wrong, and it's hard to take them back sometimes. Becky and I, you know, we've been friends for a long, long time. But probably 3 or 4 years ago, she got into the habit, when I got into this habit of saying things backwards sometimes and missing a word or whatever, she got into the habit of correcting me, keeping me straight, which, you know, our spouses have a tendency to do sometimes, and sometimes they need to. But it kind of got on my nerves a little bit. And so we talked about it, and I told her, I said, you know, I know I'm wrong. Sometimes I know when I'm wrong, but I really don't want to be corrected. So she now tells everybody that she's not correcting me, she's allowing me to be wrong. So sometimes with our friends, we need to allow them to be wrong. They don't really need our correction all the time. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. For when now we see things through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We're not supposed to understand everything here on earth. We're not supposed to be able to tell everybody how to live their lives. You know, we have a judging heart that sometimes we'll see how other people are doing things, and we'll kind of comment to ourselves, you know, I really don't want to be their friend because they don't do what's right. You know, they'll never do what's right as long as you stay away from being their friend. Somebody has to become their friend to show them how to do things right. So even the most miserable person you know, you're not wasting a thing by being their friend. And now abideth faith, hope, charity of these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And as I said, we're told we can't store up treasure here on earth, but the one treasure we can store up here on earth is the love that we can create with our fellow man. And now I'm going to go Colossians 3. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. When we accept Christ, we are putting on the new man. And he expects us to do as he told us to do after we take him. If we accept Christ and then we go right back to our old ways, it is an indication that we weren't very sincere when we accepted Christ. And it's very important that if you're going to stand up and accept Christ and accept his teachings, that you be sincere in your acceptance of his teachings. Put therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as for grace... Well, see what I said? There's my tongue getting ahead of my brain again. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. God says the only two things we need are love of God and love of each other. The Ten Commandments, if we love each other, are only guides. They are of no value to anybody. It says in the Bible that laws are of no value to he that loveth. If you truly love your fellow man, then there are no reason for laws, because you're not going to do harm to your fellow man. You know, the Lord made us all quite different. You know, we have tall people, thin people, short people. Just, we're all so different, there's no two of us in here alike. And some of us, as we were growing up, you know, we had no idea what God had in store for us. I myself, as I was growing up as a child, if the term geek had been developed by then, I would have been right there in the dictionary where you said the word geek. Because as a child, that's what I was. I couldn't play sports. I was terrible at sports. And I never understood that. I never understood why one person would have these beautiful gifts and another person would not have all these beautiful gifts. But the Lord has a place for each one of us. All these gifts, whether they were given to one person or another person, the Lord has a place for us. So don't be jealous of other people. Don't be jealous of something, you know, somebody else that can sing better or play the piano or whatever. Because there's some gift somewhere in your heart You just have to discover it, that the Lord has provided for you. As I was saying, when I was growing up, you know, we used to have to, in school, we used to have to get a piece of ivory soap and carve something out of it. And this little girl that lived next door to me could carve just about anything. She would carve a beautiful horse or a person standing or whatever. I couldn't carve a square box out of a cake of soap. I just had no ability whatsoever. And I didn't understand that as I was growing up, why other people had things that I didn't have. You remember you go out to the gymnasium in athletic class and in gym class, and two of the people would be selected to be captains of the teams, and they would stand there and they'd pick, and you and I'd stand there and they'd pick, and back and forth they're picking, and you know, kind of get down to the bottom of the last person, there would be me standing there because I was so terrible in sports. And I always got picked last, and I really think that the only reason they picked me is so that the other team could go first. So I just didn't do well, and I didn't understand that. So I got to the point where I went off and I did other things. I started designing things. I built rockets. This was the days when Sputnik was first put in the air, was when I was a teenager. I was about 16 at the time. And I was heavily involved in building rockets. I was building things that today the CIA would be looking for you if you was building them in your basement. I set a large rocket off with that had been built out of a pump. Remember the old air pumps? They're about 2 inches around. And in those days, a kid could go to the local hardware store and buy a great big can of gunpowder, which I did. And so I carried it home and went down to my basement and I made a rocket. I thought you could put gunpowder in a rocket and it would go straight up. Well, it didn't. It blew a nice big hole in my backyard. Today, they'd have everybody in the government out there searching my house. But that's what my mind went to, was I couldn't play sports. So my mind went to other things. And the other things my mind went to was to learning about building things. Well, that's what God had in mind for me. And I didn't know it. So I had a good career in a company that my ability to design and build things worked well for me. To this day, I love going in my basement and building things. I can spend hours down in my basement building things. God has made me quite satisfied with what he gave me. Unfortunately, it took me 25 or 30 years of being jealous of other people to figure out what he gave me. So sometimes we just have to sit back and look at what God gave us rather than being jealous of other people. And the important thing about being jealous of other people is you gain nothing by it. So look at everybody as an opportunity to be their friend. Don't look at other people as somebody that you wish you had their talents. You have your own. Just find out what they are. Don't be jealous of other people's talents. As adults, it's easier to say that. As kids, it's tough on kids when they don't see what other people's talents are. I see I'm running into probably close to the end of my time, so I do want to read one more thing out of the Bible, which is kind of my favorite one on this subject, and this is 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. believe me, he is already in the world. That's the one thing that will come between friends in this world is the devil. He doesn't like to see Christian friendship. So the next time you have a ill feeling towards somebody, think about it for a minute and realize that that ill feeling is being promoted and cultivated by the devil. It's not what Christ would have you feel. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because the God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he is in, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man saith, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God who he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, his brother, loveth also. You know, our church here is but a building. When we speak of our church, in our hearts, we should be speaking of each other. We are God's church. It's not the building. The timbers of the church are the people that go around trying to make friends of the other people in the church. They are the ones that hold up the roof of our church. And that's everything I have to say on that subject. I hope I have not bored everybody completely. I hope that you understand where I'm coming from. There would be nothing more important to me in my life to be able to say than to say that I am a friend. Thank you, Mark.